For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
There's something about being alone in a house that makes you notice every little sound. When you're surrounded by people, those creaks and groans of an old house blend into the background, barely registering in your mind. But when it's just you, those sounds become louder, more insistent, like the house itself is trying to get your attention. That's what I was thinking about the night it happened. I was 16, and my parents were out for the evening, leaving me home alone in our house at the edge of the woods. It wasn't the first time I'd been left by myself, but there was something different about that night. Something I couldn't quite put my finger on. The house was quiet. The kind of quiet that makes you feel like you're the only person in the world. I had my homework spread out on the kitchen table, but I wasn't really paying attention to it. The TV was on in the living room, casting a soft glow across the room, and I could hear the muffled sounds of a sitcom playing in the background. Outside, the sun had long since set, and the world beyond the windows was shrouded in darkness. Our house backed onto a dense forest, the trees pressing in close like silent sentinels. During the day, it was beautiful, a place where I could lose myself in nature, surrounded by the scent of pine and the rustle of leaves. But at night, those same trees took on a different character. They became a wall of blackness, a place where anything could be hiding, just out of sight. I wasn't scared, not really. I was used to the woods, used to the way they seemed to close in around the house at night. But as I sat there, my pen tapping idly against my notebook, I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off. It started with a sound, a faint, distant noise that barely registered at first. I paused, my pen hovering over the paper, and listened. Nothing. Just the usual creaks of the house, the low hum of the refrigerator, the laugh track from the TV in the other room. I shrugged it off and went back to my homework, but a few minutes later, I heard it again. This time it was louder, more distinct. A voice. Faint, but unmistakable. And it was coming from the woods. I put down my pen, my heart skipping a beat as I strained to listen. The voice was distant, almost like a whisper carried on the wind, but I could hear the urgency in it, the way it seemed to reach out, begging for someone to listen. Help. Please. Help. I frowned, trying to make sense of what I was hearing. It didn't sound like anything out of the ordinary, just someone in trouble. But the woods were dense, thick with underbrush and uneven terrain. It wasn't a place you'd wander into by accident, especially not at night. I stood up, moving to the window that overlooked the backyard. The moon was high, casting a pale light over the trees, but I couldn't see anything out of the ordinary. Just the same dark shapes of the forest, the same stillness that had always been there. But the voice didn't stop. Help! It was a woman's voice, soft and pleading, growing a little louder with each repetition. My first instinct was to run outside to see if someone needed help, but something held me back. There was something off about that voice, something that made the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. It was too faint, too distant, like it wasn't really coming from the woods at all, but from somewhere else entirely. Help! I swallowed, my mouth suddenly dry. I couldn't just ignore it. What if someone was really in trouble? But the more I listened, the more I felt that gnawing sense of unease, like something wasn't right. Finally, I made up my mind. I grabbed a flashlight from the kitchen drawer, my hand trembling slightly as I flicked it on. The beam cut through the darkness, illuminating the backyard as I stepped outside. The night was cold, the air crisp with the scent of pine and damp earth. The trees loomed overhead, their branches swaying gently in the breeze. But the voice had stopped. I stood there for a moment, my heart pounding in my chest, waiting to hear it again. But the woods were silent. The only sound, the rustle of leaves in the wind. I should have gone back inside. I should have locked the door and forgotten about it. But something compelled me to move forward, to take a few tentative steps toward the edge of the woods. Help. The voice was louder now, closer, like it was coming from just beyond the tree line. I felt a chill run down my spine, but I kept moving, my flashlight casting long shadows across the ground. "Who's there?" I called out, my voice trembling slightly. For a moment, there was no response. And then, the voice came again, clear and sharp. "Help me, please." It was so close now, so real, that I almost believed it. Almost. But there was something wrong with the way the voice echoed through the trees, something unnatural about the way it seemed to bounce off the trunks and come from every direction at once. I stopped, the beam of my flashlight trembling as I pointed it into...
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The woods. My instincts screamed at me to turn back, to go inside and lock the door, but I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. And then, just as suddenly as it had started, the voice stopped. I stood there, frozen in place, the flashlight casting a jittery beam of light across the trees. The silence was deafening, pressing in on me from all sides, and I couldn't shake the feeling that something was very, very wrong. I was about to turn back, to retreat to the safety of the house, when I heard a new sound. Rustling, in the bushes, just ahead. I pointed the flashlight toward the sound, the beam illuminating the darkness. For a moment, I saw nothing, just the same dark shapes of the trees, the same tangle of underbrush. But then, I caught a glimpse of movement, a figure, standing just beyond the reach of the light, barely visible in the shadows. My heart lurched in my chest, and I took a step back, my breath catching in my throat. The figure didn't move, didn't make a sound. It just stood there, watching me. I felt a wave of fear wash over me, so intense that I almost dropped the flashlight. My mind raced with possibilities. Who was it? What did they want? Why were they just standing there, hiding in the darkness? And then, I realized something that made my blood run cold. The figure was standing where the voice had come from. But it hadn't moved. It had been there the whole time. Which meant the voice hadn't been moving through the woods. It had been coming from that exact spot, as if the figure had been calling out to me. I swallowed hard, my hands shaking as I tried to make sense of what I was seeing. The figure was barely more than a silhouette, but there was something wrong with the way it was standing, the way its body seemed to blend into the shadows, like it wasn't entirely there. I knew I had to get out of there. I knew I had to turn around and run back to the house. But my legs felt like lead, my feet rooted to the ground as I stared at the figure, unable to look away. And then, slowly, the figure began to move. It stepped forward just enough to come into the light. My breath caught in my throat as I saw it clearly for the first time. It was a woman, or at least it had been at some point. Her skin was pale, almost translucent, and her eyes were dark, hollow pits. Her hair hung in matted strands around her face, and her clothes were tattered, clinging to her thin frame like rags. But it was her expression that terrified me the most. She was smiling, a wide, unnatural grin that stretched across her face, revealing teeth that were too sharp, too white. It was the kind of smile that didn't belong on a human face, the kind of smile that sent a jolt of pure terror through my entire body. And then, in a voice that was both familiar and completely alien, she spoke. "Help me." I didn't think. I didn't hesitate. I just turned and ran. The flashlight bounced wildly in my hand as I sprinted back toward the house, my heart pounding in my chest, my breath coming in ragged gasps. I could hear the rustling behind me, the sound of something moving through the bushes, but I didn't dare look back. I reached the back door, fumbling with the handle as I threw it open and practically hurled myself inside. I slammed the door shut, locking it with trembling hands, and backed away, my eyes fixed on the darkness outside. For a moment I stood there, my chest heaving as I tried to catch my breath. The house was silent, the only sound the rapid thudding of my heart in my ears. But then I heard it again, the voice, right outside the door. "Help me, please." I backed away, my mind racing. This wasn't possible. I had just seen her in the woods, just heard her calling out from the trees. How could she be here, so close, so fast? I grabbed the phone from the counter, my fingers shaking as I dialed 911. The operator's voice was a lifeline, a connection to the real world that I clung to desperately. "There's someone outside my house," I stammered, my voice barely steady. "I don't know who it is, but they're trying to get in. Please, send someone." The operator assured me that help was on the way, but it felt like an eternity as I waited, every second stretching out like hours. I could hear the voice still, calling out from just outside the door, but I refused to go near it, refused to look out the window. "Help me." The words were like a broken record, repeating over and over, each one sending a fresh wave of terror through me. Finally, after what felt like an eternity, I heard the sound of sirens in the distance. The voice stopped abruptly, and I felt a momentary sense of relief. But when I looked out the window, the backyard was empty. The police arrived minutes later, their flashlights cutting through the darkness as they searched the area. I told them everything, about the voice, the figure in the woods, the way she had appeared so suddenly, so impossibly close to the house. They searched the woods, combing through every inch of the area, but they didn't find anything. No footprints, no sign that anyone had been there. It was like she had never existed at all. The police stayed for a while, trying to reassure me, but I could see the doubt in their eyes. They didn't believe me. Not really. They thought I had imagined it, that I had let my mind play tricks on me. But I knew what I had seen. I knew what I had heard. After they left, I locked every door and window in the house, my hands still trembling. The fear hadn't left me. It was still there, gnawing at the edges of my mind, making me jump at every little sound. I kept expecting to hear the voice again, to hear it calling out from the darkness. But the night was silent. In the days that followed, I tried to put the experience behind me. I told myself it was just a bad dream, a trick of the light, anything to make it seem less real. But deep down, I knew the truth. I knew that something had been in those woods that night, something that wasn't supposed to be there, and I knew that it had been calling out to me. I've moved away from that house, away from those woods, but the fear never truly left me. It's a part of me now. I know that whatever was out there in those woods is still waiting, waiting for someone else to hear its call. It was one of those nights that makes you want to curl up with a good book and a cup of tea, the kind of night where the rain falls steadily against the windows, the thunder rumbles low in the distance, and the world outside feels far away. I'd always loved stormy weather, the way it made everything feel cozier, more intimate. But that night, there was something different in the air. I was home alone, my parents having gone out for the evening to celebrate their anniversary. It was just me and the old house that had been in our family for generations. I'd grown up there, so the sounds of the house were familiar to me, comforting, even. But as the rain intensified and the wind picked up, the usual creaks and groans seemed louder, more insistent. I'd spent the earlier part of the evening in the living room, wrapped in a blanket and watching TV. But as the storm grew stronger, I decided to head upstairs to my room. The house was quiet, kind of deep. I climbed the stairs slowly, my hand trailing along the wooden banister. The hallway was dark, the shadows cast by the flickering light bulbs dancing across the walls. I hesitated at the top of the stairs, listening to the wind howl outside, before turning and heading toward my room. But just as I reached for the doorknob, I heard it. A faint noise, barely audible over the sound of the storm. A soft, muffled thump, like something heavy being dropped onto the floor. I froze, my hand hovering over the doorknob, my heart skipping a beat. The noise had come from the basement. For a moment, I told myself I'd imagined it. The wind was playing tricks on me, rattling the windows and making the old house groan. But then I heard it again. Another soft thump, followed by a low, scraping sound, like something being dragged across the floor. My stomach tightened with unease. I didn't want to go down there, didn't want to face whatever was making those sounds. But I knew I couldn't just ignore it, either. I had to check it out, if only to convince myself that it was nothing. I turned away from my bedroom door and slowly made my way back down on the stairs, the old wood creaking under my weight. The noise continued, growing louder as I approached the basement door, a rhythmic, almost deliberate sound that set my nerves on edge. I reached the door, my hand trembling slightly as I wrapped my fingers around the cold brass knob. The basement was always cold, even in the summer, and the air that seeped through the crack under the door sent a shiver down my spine. Taking a deep breath, I turned the knob and pulled the door open. The basement stairs were steep and narrow, the kind that made you feel like you were descending into another world. The light switch was at the top of the stairs, and I hesitated for a moment before flicking it on. The single bare bulb that hung from the ceiling buzzed to life, casting a dim, yellowish glow over the steps. I stood there for a moment, staring down into the darkness below, my heart pounding in my chest. The sound had stopped as soon as I opened the door, leaving only the low hum of the light bulb and the distant rumble of thunder outside. I told myself it was nothing. Maybe a box had fallen over, or the wind had somehow made its way into the basement and knocked something loose. But the unease in my gut wouldn't go away. Slowly, I started down the stairs, the old wood creaking with each step. The basement smelled damp, a mix of mildew and dust that clung to the air. It was a large space, with stone walls and a low ceiling that made it feel even more confined. The floor was cluttered with old furniture, storage boxes, and other forgotten relics from the past, all covered in a fine layer of dust. As I reached the bottom of the stairs, I swept the beam of my flashlight across the room, my eyes straining to see through the dim light. Everything seemed to be in its place. Nothing out of the ordinary. Nothing that could have made those noises. But just as I was about to turn back, I noticed something that made my blood run cold. In the far corner of the basement, partially hidden behind an old wardrobe, was a pile of blankets. At first, I thought nothing of it, just some old linens that had been thrown down there and forgotten. But then, as I stared at them, I realized something was wrong. The blankets were moving. It was subtle, almost imperceptible, but they were definitely shifting, like something underneath them was trying to get out. My breath caught in my throat, my mind racing with possibilities. A rat? A raccoon that had somehow gotten inside? But as I stood there, frozen in place, the blanket suddenly shifted more violently, and I heard a soft, raspy breath. This wasn't an animal. I felt a cold wave of fear wash over me, my heart pounding in my chest as I stared at the moving blankets. This wasn't just some small animal, it was something much bigger, something that didn't belong in my basement. My mind raced with what to do. Should I call the police? My parents? But what would I tell them? That there was something under a pile of blankets in the basement? No, I had to know what it was first. I had to see it for myself. I took a tentative step forward, the beam of my flashlight trembling as I moved closer to the pile of blankets. The breathing grew louder, more labored, like whoever, or whatever, was under there was struggling to catch their breath. My hand shook as I reached out, my fingers brushing against the edge of the blanket. It was damp, cold to the touch, and I had to fight the urge to pull my hand back. Taking a deep breath, I grabbed the blanket and yanked it away. What I saw beneath it made my blood run cold. A man was lying on the floor, curled up in a fetal position, his face hidden by his tangled hair. His clothes were filthy, torn and stained with something dark, and his skin was pale, almost gray, like he hadn't seen sunlight in weeks. But it was his eyes that terrified me the most. They were wide open, bloodshot, and staring straight ahead, unblinking. There was a wildness in them, a look of pure, unbridled madness that made my stomach twist with fear. His chest rose and fell with shallow, ragged breaths, his eyes locked onto mine with an intensity that made me want to scream. And then, without warning, he lunged at me. I stumbled back, barely managing to dodge his outstretched hands as he clawed at the air, his mouth twisted into a snarl. He was fast, faster than I expected. And I barely had time to react before he was on his feet, staggering toward me with a crazed look in his eyes. I turned and ran, my heart pounding in my chest as I bolted up the stairs. I could hear him behind me, his footsteps heavy and uneven, like he was struggling to keep up. But I didn't dare look back. I reached the top of the stairs and slammed the basement door shut, locking it with trembling hands. My breath came in ragged gasps, my mind racing with what to do next. I had to get out of the house. I had to call the police. But just as I turned to grab the phone, I heard a loud bang from the other side of the door. He was trying to break through. The banging grew louder, more frantic, as the man threw himself against the door. The wood creaked under the strain, and I knew it wouldn't hold for long. I had to act fast. I grabbed the phone, my hands shaking so badly that I could barely dial. "There's a man in my basement," I stammered, my voice trembling with fear. "He's trying to break through the door. Please send someone quickly." The operator assured me that help was on the way, but it felt like an eternity as I waited, the banging on the door growing more violent with each passing second. I backed away from the door, my eyes fixed on the wood as it began to splinter under the man's assault. My mind raced with worst-case scenarios. What if the door gave way? What if he got through before the police arrived? But just as I was about to lose hope, the banging suddenly stopped. For a moment, there was silence, the kind of heavy, oppressive silence that made my skin crawl. I didn't dare move, didn't dare breathe as I listened for any sign of movement on the other side of the door. But there was nothing. Slowly, I crept forward, my heart pounding in my chest as I pressed my ear against the door. I couldn't hear anything, no footsteps, no breathing, nothing. Had he given up? Had he gone back down to the basement? I wanted to believe that, but the fear in my gut told me otherwise. Something wasn't right. And then, without warning, the door burst open. The man lunged at me, his eyes wild with rage. I screamed, stumbling back as he grabbed at me, his fingers digging into my arms with a strength that belied his emaciated frame. We struggled, his breath hot against my face, his grip like iron. I tried to fight him off, tried to push him away, but he was relentless, his eyes locked onto mine with a madness that terrified me to my core. I could feel my strength waning, my vision blurring as he pinned me to the floor. His hands were around my throat, squeezing the life out of me, and I knew I didn't have much time left. But just as my vision started to fade, I heard it, the sound of sirens growing louder with each passing second. The man hesitated, his grip loosening just enough for me to break free. I scrambled to my feet, gasping for air as I staggered away from him, and then the front door burst open, and the police were there, pulling him off me, dragging him away. I collapsed to the floor, my body trembling with relief as I watched them haul him out of the house, his wild eyes still locked onto mine, that twisted smile still on his lips. The police stayed with me for hours, asking me questions, trying to piece together what had happened. I told them everything. The noises in the basement, the man under the blankets, the way he had attacked me. They searched the basement, combing through every inch of the space, but they didn't find anything out of the ordinary. No signs of how the man had gotten in, no evidence that he had been living there. The man was taken to a psychiatric facility, but I never learned who he was or where he had come from. The police told me he was a drifter, someone who had been living off the grid for years, moving from place to place. But that didn't explain why he had chosen my basement, why he had been hiding there. And I can only write this story after many years of therapy. If the police hadn't arrived in time, I wouldn't be here anymore.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.